Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, it's Monday, April 10th. Welcome to another episode of Telling Everybody Everything. I embark upon my first ever comedy show in Dubai this week. It is one day before my flight. Yes, I'm panicking about leaving the children. I'll only be gone for 2 days. I don't think many people are doing a two-day trip to Dubai. I would have loved to take a family holiday, but there just isn't time. Fred hates the sun. Fred hates the sand. He's a man after his mother's heart. I hate the same things. But I am sort of looking forward to a tiny break, I hate to say. The kids, as you know, I discussed last week, they've been very, very sick, very congested. And Bobby and I are the same, but we're nowhere near as bad as they are. I don't know what happens with a virus. If it gets less serious, like certain viruses, I know, keep their strength. That's why we're all concerned about COVID, is that it wasn't really evolving that differently and it was getting stronger in people or something. Whatever this one is, I think they caught it from the soft play. We caught it from them. We don't have it as bad. But man alive, what is the respiratory illness that's going around right now? It is hell. It's hell. But they're coming out the other side. I had a really good night with them last night, only a few wake-ups. So Dubai, here I come. Kids, Dubai-bye. Sorry about that. Look, more of those jokes to come. Because I think stand-up in Dubai, you know, like I should be able to do a lot of the stuff that I've been working on for my new tour. But I am going to play it a little bit safe. It's going to be a little bit children's birthday party. And I feel like that's just the best way to do things because I did receive my contract and I went through what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. And the reality is there are different types of comedy that work in different settings. I am blessed enough to do corporate gigs and I clean it up. When people are dressed up, when people have a bow tie and I'm at the Grosvenor Hotel and it's a company awards due, guess what? TV's Catherine Ryan cleans it up a little bit, and I feel like I'm going to clean it up in Dubai. Some people are politically opposed to me being there. Well, take a look in the mirror. The politics of your own country ain't so great either, hombre. But some people are really excited. So if you don't have tickets yet, and you are in Dubai, or you live in Dubai, or you're visiting Dubai, do us a favor. Come on out. I'm kicking off the Dubai Comedy Festival. You can find tickets on your local Live Nation website. And Joanne says that on the podcast this week, and you can always write us an email at tellingeverybodyeverything@gmail.com. Your email, Catherine, was flooded with people in Dubai who are so keen to see the show. Here's a message from someone living there and to shed light on some Western assumptions about the LGBTQAI+ community. So Joanne's written LGBTQ. I understood most recently that it's LGBTQAI+. If we're adding plus, like, why don't we just say L+? Or you know what, community? Why not rebrand as plus? I'm in the plus community, which means, like, anything non-super heteronormative. Just an idea. Catherine, I've lived in Dubai for 20 years. It's a Muslim country, so of course they have different rules. But trust me, this doesn't stop any of my friends who live here having open and full lives. It's so ignorant to ignore these people, and your other listeners clearly don't understand how the Middle East works. It actually sounds to me like Islamophobia. Anyway, see you on the 12th with my friends. We'll be having some drinks and having fun. I know this is perplexing to some who've never been, but I can't wait to see you live. There, I've taken out some words because I really don't want to get like into the nitty-gritty of politics, but you can read between the lines. Her friends are fun. They're going to be there. I hope to see you there too. Oh no, I just got this sad up-to-the-minute news from Bobby to my phone this instant that he came runner-up in the big golf tournament that he's been competing in for weeks. I don't really understand how it works, but you know, when football season comes and there are knockouts, 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 and then there are like four teams left and then there are two teams or whatever. That's what happens, but with singles golf. I'm so stupid. Like in the beginning, I was like, why are you in a singles tournament if you're married? And he was like, God, God, you are. I just don't get it, but it means you're playing alone. And he didn't win it, but look, congratulations to my husband for a few things, really, for getting mentioned on Ramesh and Tom D's Wolf and Owl podcast for having a cool garden, you know, game recognized game. Men, you know, you worry that like, oh, men are gossiping and conspiring about you and they say how they really feel. And when you're not around, like maybe they're slagging you off. Men never are. They just talk about really stupid shit like grass and lawns, or they just are silent. They don't talk about anything. Bobby will come back from golf and I'll go, do you get any news, get any tea? No, nothing, ever, nothing. So I'm proud of him for getting mentioned on Ramesh's and Tom's podcast. And I'm also proud of him for coming this far in the golf. And it sucks to get second place. I'm the kind of person I would almost rather get dead last than second, because you could taste it. You're so close. And it's a tournament that he's won before. I think second place, especially on a windy day, is pretty damn good. Last Saturday, I was invited to do a sketch for YouTube. I don't even know if they call it a sketch, a program, a comedy thing with The Sidemen, who are a collective of YouTube personalities. And this is me talking as a boomer. I don't want to give too much away, but they're very funny. I have always liked KSI. I remember back when he was just traumatizing his parents with pranks. I think Violet introduced me to his videos, and since then, I just think nobody's perfect. I know he's been a controversial figure now and then, but comedically, I think he's got, you know, a lot of talent, usually really good instincts. He's boxing now. He's certainly a businessman and a really hardworking person, and he's been on Celebrity Bake Off, Stand Up to Cancer, Bake Off for Charity with me, and we've done some panel shows together, and I just think he's a really, really great guy. And so when I was invited to participate in this on a Saturday afternoon, I jumped at the chance. I said, please, can I bring Violet? Because anything that I can do to connect Violet with like the young, cool culture that impresses her far more than anything that I do, then I'm excited to do that. So that's going to come out really soon. I can't tell you exactly what it is. Maybe I can. I don't really know the rules of YouTube, but I can tell you this. I was blown away by the production value. They had producers, they had sound, they had lights that are just as sophisticated as they are in any TV studio. They had multiple cameras. It was a proper studio, like a proper setup. They had other people on who were massive celebs. Like I was thinking, oh yeah, I'll come and do this. No, no, no. Everyone else doing it was far more talented and successful than I am. All of the side men were there, and I apologize. I know a few of them, I don't know them all. And I understand that what they are is like different YouTube personalities who are really talented content creators on their own. I don't think they're even called YouTube personalities anymore, but like I get a pass for being 40. And they come together to do certain projects. And I think that's really smart. It's smart from a branding perspective. It's smart to get your audience engagement up. It's just really clever. And I thought that I had seen one of their comedy videos before. Influenced to me. You know, I'm rarely on YouTube, but on social media. So when we first arrived, I said, oh, do you mind if I pop into the boys just to say hello? Because I had Violet. And the producer lady, Tanya, who was marvelous, she said, yeah, of course. So I went in and it was a bit of a, you know, they're very friendly, but they're getting their head in the game for their own thing. They were chatting about their own things. And I'm like an old lady who's barging into their dressing room, essentially. But I just said, oh, hi to KSI. I said, really nice to see all of you. Thank you for having me. This is my daughter, Violet. And they were like, oh, you know, they're very charming and nice to Violet. And then I said, oh, I'm excited to do this. I've seen a similar sketch that you do. And I proceeded to describe the format. And I couldn't feel, but I really should get instincts for this. Violet was cringing over my shoulder. And I thought that the frosty reception was weird. I'm like, why aren't they being more like, oh yeah, you know what we're doing. Great. Thank you for the compliment. There was none of that. They were just like very polite. They were like, oh yeah, no, okay. well, see you out there. And I was like, that was strange. So I walked back to my dressing room and Violet in the corridor was like, Mom, how could you say that? I was like, how could I say what? I was giving them a compliment. I said, I know the format. I've seen a sketch like this. And Violet said, no, you were describing a sketch by the Beta Squad. I was like, the Beta Squad? The what? Like, at this point, we're just saying words. And Violet's like, the Beta Squad are ops, aka rivals, of Sidemen, and they don't like each other. And I mean, I'm sure that a lot of this rivalry is pretend for the engagement and for like the storyline of what's going on. I'm sure like nobody actually is a rival of anyone, but I think I had described a different group of content creators, something they had done, and I had confused them with the Sidemen. And then I had to dig deep into my soul and go, well, was it like stupid what I did, or ignorant, or racist, or all of the above? Like, what did I just do? Like, what is the race of the Beta Squad? My God, because that's not what I've done at all. In my mind, I'm just not in this world. But every time I get invited to dip my toe into the world a bit, I'm down to do it. I'm like, oh, great. I'm excited because, you know, I want Violet to think I'm cool. I want to be spread across. I mean, I want to be active on different platforms. I want to be able to reach audiences however I can. And I've spoken about this. I don't dismiss influencers, content creators, YouTube personalities, social media, whatever you want to call them. I don't dismiss them at all as being less than because they aren't on like mainstream television. Quite the opposite. I see the way the future is going. I think that it's so smart to be able to create and conceive and execute and produce and publish all your own content all on your own. I want to learn from these young men. Anyway, they forgave me, I guess, because we went on with the shoot and it was really funny and they're just so talented and I love them so much. So please watch out for that. On Sunday, we were thrilled to have been invited to our first ever baby birthday party from the school. So Fred, as you know, goes to nursery 2 mornings a week. Fenna will be joining him when she turns 2. He goes to the most wonderful Montessori nursery that only cater to babies over 2 until they go to school. And Fenna really has the personality to be in there now. I mean, Fenna more than Fred, and Fred's already been going for the better part of a year. Fenna would walk in there and she would do all the activities and she's totally, totally potty trained. We don't even think about accidents. Actually, I was putting her to bed last night, which was a challenge because Fenna now is just more obsessed with me than ever, but as her bitch, like she loves me in a way that I'm an extension of herself. Like I am just an employee. I'm like a right arm for Fenna. She doesn't really think about my feelings or speaking to me nicely. She loves her dad, but if he comes to hold her when I have her or comes to do something for her, she goes, now. And I think that she appreciates that I understand her language, which isn't good for a child. You're supposed to make them enunciate things more clearly so that the greater society can understand what they're speaking, but I just know. So Fenna will come up to me and go, Dell. And I know that that means that she wants me to turn on the TV for this lady called Christy singing Farmer in the Dell on Super Simple Songs. And I just know that. And she has so many words like that, so many little shorthands for I know exactly what she needs. And she can say just so many things now. She's so funny and she's so determined. And she kicked off in King's Cross. I took her with Violet the other day to Coal Drops Yard or something, because this company that I love, Pure White Lines, are doing a little pop-up there. They are the most beautiful lighting and interiors, and they have a pop-up coming to that little shopping area, Coal Yard something, around King's Cross, and I didn't really know when it started, and I wanted to go there anyway. They have fountains and a market and a cute place to sit. It's shopping anyway. It's just a good day out for the kids if you're in London. And a Space NK, which is all Violet cares about. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to take the girls today while Fred's at nursery. And Fenna just kicked off the entire time because she wanted to be able to take her shoes and socks off herself and put them on herself. And I understand that toddlers do reach this I do it myself phase, but Fenna's reached it too young. Like she's 15 months old, almost 16 months, And there are things that she wants to execute herself that she just can't, and she won't give up. So, I mean, that is part of her personality that I really detest. But I am inspired by Fenna. The patriarchy, though, is alive and well, even with toddlers. Anything this little girl does, anything impressive, Fenna will do a fucking cartwheel and walk over to a stranger and be like, "Can I pet your doggy, please?" And they'll look at her and say, "Oh, I can see over your shoulder, you got a big brother." Fred is laying in the fucking pram, saying nothing to anyone, refusing to walk, and wearing sunglasses because he thinks they make him invisible. And they'll say to Fenna, "Oh, you've learned to do that because you have a big brother." No, the fuck she did, her big brother. We still have to blend his food into a puree and feed it to him like a baby bird. You'll see Fenna getting her own massive slice of pepperoni pizza off the table and eating it herself. Like, Fenna does things herself. Oh, you learned that from your brother. All that Fenna has learned is that women have to work 10 times harder, show 10 times the output and brilliance, only to have her achievements credited to a nearby man. No, Fred has never shown Fenna how to do anything. It is quite the opposite. I love Fred. I love Fred. Fred's my favorite. He's mommy's special boy. I love them both. But Fenna's absolutely amazing. And Fred is a music man and he's an artist. And Fenna's probably like Bobby and Fred is like me in a lot of ways now. But he got invited to this birthday party. And what a birthday party it was. He's starting to make school friends and he's very popular with the young ladies because he's so handsome, but also because he's gentle and kind. And the other little boys are adorable, but they sort of tear around like puppies. And that's what Fred used to do when he had just turned 2. I joked on parental guidance that he was a toxic male, but now he's really settled into himself and he's thoughtful and he's soft and the girls really like him. So I was worried about it for a moment because there would be a love triangle at this party. See, he has 2 girls that he really loves at school. And I mean, look, I am not assigning any like heteronormative things onto Fred because it's difficult to have 3, even in a friendship group, 3 is really difficult at a certain age. Even when I was a young woman in high school, 3 was a tricky number. 3's a crowd, as they say. There were no romantic entanglements. It just made it difficult. And he's got 2 girls that he really loves at school and who really love him. It was one of the girls' birthday parties and the other girl was going to be a guest at the party. So I was like, oh, how's this going to go down? But actually, when they all got together, I think Fred was just so bewildered to have his school friends in a new setting that he sort of just observed. He was like, huh. And he stayed close to his dad and he wouldn't really do a lot, but he was having so much fun. And the party was banging off the chain. This is the kind of party that I want to go to, although they didn't serve alcohol. But I mean, maybe it was for the best. It was a soft play near my house that I'd never even heard about. And it was populated by these really cool, beautiful moms from the school who I haven't met. And I'm really looking forward to being in the social throes of like having young kids in school again. When Violet went to school, there was a walk to the school run. So I would see the other moms at the school gate and I got to know them that way. And they weren't always all nice to me. But now it's just a drop off. It's a really strict, like one car, move it along, drop off at the nursery. And Fred only goes, like I said, 2 days a week. So I really don't have any interaction with the other moms. But these birthday parties are a wonderful way of like breaking the ice and getting to know the other moms. They're all so stunning. They're all so nice. And they're all Greek for some reason. I don't know. I guess it's my neighborhood. Like, I think that I'm the only non-Greek family at this school, it feels like. Or like there are just beautiful kids who look like Kardashians who aren't Greek. I don't know. My kids are blonde. I'm very pale, and everyone else I think is Greek. They certainly party like they're Greek. They're like fun and they're happy and they go all out, sort of like I do. So I thought what I was doing is, you know, I know we don't use the word chavvy anymore, but I'm sort of a chav at heart. Like, I want to have big, big wedding style birthday parties for my kids. I want to put my kids in like big princess dresses and I get them limousines and I have big balloons and I have it catered and I'll have like a wedding cake. Like, that's how I have always done Violet's parties. And this mom is right up my street. She did the exact same. She had the most stunning decor, great food, really nice for the kids. A full ice cream truck rolled up. That was fun. She had a beautiful wedding cake. She had an entertainer, a young woman who was like a party princess. She was doing Rapunzel. And that's another thing, is that my kids are such like a musical theater audience, that when Rapunzel did her little show bit, because she was playing with the kids and being, you know, a great Rapunzel, she had a bit where she was like, now I'm going to sing some songs from the film. And the other kids carried on with the soft play, but my children were like, huh, 'tis time to be a respectful audience. And they sat right in front of Rapunzel on the ground and gave their full attention to the performance on stage and smiled and clapped along. And I know my mother would be very proud, because that is the kind of audience that the Ryan Kootstras / Ryan McCarthys are. No matter what's going on, you could be eating shit on stage, having a terrible performance, dying on your hole, and we will look up at you, smile, and give our full attention to the stage. But Rapunzel was great. It was a great birthday party. And I just can't wait till Fenn is at the school. The babies are so cute. Enough about your family, Catherine. What is happening in the world of pop culture that I'm missing out on because I am sidetracked by my own family? Well, let me tell you, you must have seen the pictures from Rihanna's interview with Interview. Rihanna sat down with her former stylist and current editor of Interview magazine, Mel Ottenberg, to discuss everything from motherhood to plastic surgery, delivered in her signature candid cool and accompanied by a photo spread looking like, I don't know, aspirational controlled chaos. To quote the queen, life's a bitch and her pussy wet. A quote to live and die by. One of the highlights on dating before husband, ASAP Rocky, she would ask men, who are you into, me or the idea of me? And this is a common conundrum for women in show business. I can relate. I feel like the men that I've dated largely were into me and they hated the idea of me. I suppose if I were a sexy pop star, R&B songstress like Rihanna, then there's a certain acquisition to dating someone like that. There's a machismo that's like, oh, see that sex symbol who shakes her bum and is a beautiful singer and everybody recognizes as one of the most beautiful women in the world. Like, that's my girlfriend. Like, I go home with her. That's my woman. And she is on a world stage as an icon. For me, it's like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Well, I like this girl because she's really nice to me and she's fun to be around and she's always in a good mood and she makes me laugh. But annoyingly, she has this grotesque job where she talks on stage with a microphone and that makes me nervous. And sometimes she talks about me. And even though she protects my identity, like, I don't like that. And her job is not sexy, and everybody thinks she's like a man-hating feminist. So I feel like I have the opposite problem to Rihanna when it comes to dating in the past. The idea of me was a big, big, big problem. And you know, I've been in relationships where the more successful I got, then the more hideous I became and the more angry they would get. I dated only one boyfriend who really didn't mind it. And in my marriage now, like, Bobby respects what I do. He thinks I'm funny. He is one of my biggest supporters. He's always been really encouraging of my craft. And what I appreciate about Bobby is he also understands that, like, okay, just like my children understand, or Violet at the very least has always understood. It's like, oh, what she says on stage is a version of who she is. And she leans into the funny parts of life. And it's not a verbatim direct reflection of how she feels or what's going on in our lives. Like, we know the difference between what is real and what is a little bit heightened, because that is the funnier angle on it. And that's what mom does. And we like that because it means that our mortgage is paid and mom is creatively fulfilled. Like, everyone in the house, I think, understands that. Elsewhere in the article, Rihanna said she wants, quote, as many kids as God wants her to have, and she would love to try for a girl. This is a very vintage, really outdated thing for such a progressive person to say. I know that Rihanna does have some traditional values, but I didn't even know that we were focusing so much on gender anymore. I thought gender reveal parties were canceled. It seems like such an odd thing. And I have a girlfriend who's about to have her second daughter. Like any day now, she's due. And a server in a bar, or I mean, hopefully, maybe it was a restaurant. I don't know. Maybe it was a bar. You do you, baby. No judgment. But she was out and a server said, well, it's another girl. Oh, nice. Hopefully you can give your husband a son next time. Huh? Is he an Egyptian king? It just felt so out of this world to me. And Rihanna's got two little boys who might grow up and be like, guess what, mom, I'm a girl. So, I mean, why do you care? But I am on the same page with Rihanna in terms of I just want as many as God will give me. And I would be totally at peace at this point with either one. But Rihanna's a lot younger than I am, too. I don't think that mothers with one gender are missing out, though, as much as, like, I suppose. So I have another girlfriend in America who has three boys, and she's an influencer, and she posted this little dance video with her husband just today that she was like, I want another baby. And her husband was like, well, you know, it's just going to be another boy. And she was like, it's your fault. We keep getting boys. I suppose it's about the experience. I think that men and women both maybe have it in their head, this idea of what the life experience of raising a son or the life experience of raising a daughter might be. And if they don't get that gender, then they think they haven't experienced the full spectrum of like what parenting might be for them. On plastic surgery, Rihanna said, I want my titties pinned back to my shoulders, right where they used to be. I don't want implants. Good, because in many cases, your body sees them as an invader and will give you autoimmune disease. I just want to lift. I'm also scared of the knife. So if I had to pick one thing, I'm going to pick my boobs because I can like squat and get an ass, hopefully. Wrong, Rihanna. Your ass will betray you after having kids. So there's something that happens in your muscle density that allows your cervix to open or maybe your abdominal muscles to accommodate a growing uterus. I don't know what it is, but like the physical makeup of your muscular cells becomes less dense or something, like your ass melts away. I used to have an ass not unlike Rihanna's, naturally, because I was young, I had nice muscle tone, and I think that I could squat all day long now. I mean, I haven't tried, I wouldn't know, but I think that it becomes much more difficult to build muscle mass as an older woman. On whether she misses trolling and clapping back personally online, because who could forget her mic drop in response to Ciara telling her she wouldn't want to see her on or off stage? Rihanna wrote, good luck booking that stage you speak of. So Rihanna said, the troll in me, she had time. Unfortunately, you can't take anything back from the internet, so I will always have the reminders, but the best troll in me is the silent troll. On if she achieved what she's dreamed of in her career, she said, the only thing I knew I wanted or that I could imagine was motherhood. I didn't know how it would come, but it's the best part of my journey so far. Everything else was a surprise. That's so nice for her, and it really is a blessing. She had her kids closer together even than I had Fena and Fred. I'd be very interested in knowing her nanny situation, who's helping her, but so far I just see her. Kind of reminds me of early days Britney Spears when Jaden James and, oh, why don't I know the other one's name? Something Thomas were born and she was holding one on each hip and they were so small. And I think Rihanna's got what it takes though to tour with them, bring them everywhere. Sean Preston. On her favorite thing about living in LA, Rihanna said, my gynecologist. Truthfully, I wouldn't trade her for the world. That's why I had my babies in LA. Besides that, great doctors, great therapists for kids, great teachers. And it used to be the best weather. Now it's really cold all the time. I don't get that. What a great interview she gives. Like, Rihanna is the dream. She just seems like she'd be kicked back through that entire chat, being her absolute authentic self. And mother or not mother, pop star, R&B star or not, whatever you want to be, let Rihanna be a reminder to us all that the very best thing that you can be is authentically yourself. It has made international news that British presenter Vic Hope has mentioned Taylor Swift. And let it be a lesson to us all. Anytime you mention Taylor Swift, it's getting in every newspaper in America. You'll be talked about abroad. We're living in a Swiftie nation. And what a nightmare then for your husband to be Taylor Swift's ex. Now, I know Vic Hope a little bit. Not a bad word to say about the woman. Beautiful, lovely, stunning, talented, kind, wonderful, wonderful girl. I don't know her that well, but I didn't even know that she married Calvin Harris in September 2023. This is because they keep their relationship pretty private and good for them. Basically, she was doing her radio show and she said that she listens to Taylor Swift only when Taylor's ex, her husband, Calvin Harris, is out of the house. And she joins a growing list, including Taylor Dome and Sophie Turner, as present-day Swifties who have dated or married Taylor's ex-flames. Fine, I don't care. But in learning about this relationship, I've gone down a dark path of becoming obsessed, Vic Hope, with your parents. So Vic Hope is of a mixed heritage. Her dad is a white British man and her mother is a Nigerian. I was stunned when I saw his name, though. Her dad is called Jordy Nigel Hope. Jordy is his first name and he's from Newcastle. Jordy. G-E-O-R-D-I-E. Jordy like Jordy. And he's from Newcastle. Why? I'm obsessed with Jordy Nigel Hope. Is his name Nigel Hope? And it became a nickname because he was like working in the city or something was going on in his life. He was traveling. He was doing things and people went, where are you from? And he went, I'm a Jordy. I'm a Jordy. And then people were like, your name's Jordy? And then he just took that name back with him. Or were his parents such proud Newcastle residents that they were like, we are naming our son Jordy? Like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but I love it. Could Vic Hope or someone close to Vic Hope please get in touch and tell me what the situation is with Jordy Nigel Hope, a.k.a. my favorite man, and an absolute stud, by the way. I mean, she's got great parents. I found them in the mirror dancing to Kylie Minogue and embracing their son-in-law, Calvin Harris. And I mean, they just look like a great family. So, you know, I don't expect a swift reply. I know that listening to her music in his house is not what Calvin Harris came for, but I think it's cool. I think it's so cool that you can be an ex and the future partners of your ex are like, nah, but I like her work. And I would love to think that I have exes all over this planet whose current partners are like, let's put Katherine Ryan's stand-up special on where she absolutely rinses you into the dirt. Let's listen to some short messages from our sponsors. And when we return, I want to give you a trigger warning. Joanne, for some reason, has just collected emails about kinks. There was talk about asshole rimming going mainstream last week to much, much discussion and aplomb. Is aplomb the right word for that? I don't know. I'm embracing my vanilla, but I also don't want to kink shame any of you. So thanks for writing in. And when we come back, get the kids out of the car. Earmuffs. It is kink season.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Catherine, I'm writing for advice on a situation I've gotten myself into. I think I may have accidentally and inadvertently become a dominatrix. Over a decade ago, I was introduced to a man who we will call Chris by a coworker. They were old college friends and he was visiting her while in town for work. After meeting Chris, he began messaging me during the day. Chris is married, no kids. I mean, why did your coworker introduce you to Chris? And he was visiting a female coworker, a female friend, while he was in town for work. And this female coworker was like, oh, you know what this married guy needs? More female friends. Okay. My coworker told me that he had a few weird kinks and his wife wasn't into it. And in addition to being a shoe, not to be confused with foot fetish guy, he was also into male chastity and wore a dick cage. Fast forwarding to 2015 when things took a weird turn. Oh, did they? What? No one could have foreseen that coming, that the married man who was out of town visiting your female friend who knew all about his kinks and was now messaging you in the day would have taken a turn. He was very depressed. Oh, poor Chris. He'd gone to his wife and he'd asked her to take control of the key to his dick cage. She thought that was weird and she told him no. So he was venting to me. He's so lucky to have your shoulder to cry on about this dick cage problem with his wife. Over the years, our relationship evolved into more of a weird friendship, but never anything sexual, ever. So I offered to hold the key to his dick cage. And this changed everything. In the last 6 years, my friendship with him has gone from that, just a weird friendship, to me having control of the key to his dick cage and bossing him around. And he pays me to do it, like a lot, like $2,000 a month, and often times more if I consider the lavish gifts he sends. His wife has no clue. And I don't really feel bad about that because his marriage isn't my business. But my predicament is that my husband also knows, but he doesn't care. This bothers me because I feel like he should. Am I wrong? He and I don't share finances, so he has no clue the extent of what kind of money I'm making to keep this dick key. My husband never asks me questions about what's being said back and forth with Chris. He's never asked if the relationship was or is inappropriate. Is this normal? I honestly don't want to stop because the extra money is literally doing nothing bad, and I worry that this man's becoming emotionally dependent on me. I wonder how he'd react if I ever said I needed to not be the dick cage holder anymore. Well, I can tell you now that I've got millions of listeners who are excited to take over that role if you want to chuck it in the bin. Let me get this straight. All you have to do is be the holder of the key to this man's dick cage and boss him around a bit, and then that male chastity kink is satisfied and he sends you money and gifts. I mean, fine. And I feel like maybe your husband or partner is he your husband? Yeah. Maybe he just knows a lot of kinky guys too. And he's like, yeah, I don't mind that. I don't have a problem with that. Men are a lot more like, for, you know, I'm making a generalization, cut and dry about like, are you fucking him? No, then I don't really care. Because I have friendships with men and my husband obviously doesn't care because he trusts me and he knows those friendships aren't sexual. I think he'd have a problem with me holding the key to their dick cage though. So, or maybe not. Like if I wasn't fucking them, maybe he really wouldn't care. I don't know. I'm 40 years old and I haven't figured men out. But you're doing nothing wrong in your own relationship if your partner really doesn't care. Does it raise red flags that like he's doing something so he doesn't mind that you're doing something? I would bring it up with him and be like, do you know, it sort of bothers me that you don't care. Because I would care if you were holding the key to some strange woman's like vagina cage. Or maybe your conscience does care because you're saying like, well, his marriage is none of my business, but shouldn't my husband care? Like, you know that there are alarm bells going off where like someone is sort of supposed to care. If his wife found out, maybe she already knows, but if she didn't and she found out, maybe she'd be hurt. And it is a lot of emotional energy for you to be this guy's like accidental dominatrix. Because you still have to talk to him. You think the friendship's weird. Like it might be taking a soul toll on you that you're not really factoring in. Like, how does it make you feel about yourself? There's something wrong for you to be having these feelings. Like, okay, someone's supposed to care. What about you? Your husband doesn't care, but maybe you care. Maybe you feel like it's heavy being the holder of the key to the dick cage. And this is a sexual relationship for him in some way. So even if it isn't explicitly sexual for you, you are still participating in what is a sex act. It's a kink. And if you feel bad about doing that, then you need to liberate yourself. Like you're doing sex work. And I think you're just hesitant to call it that, but you're getting paid to satisfy a man's sexual fantasy. So you're a sex worker. And that's not a bad thing. I think that's why we should destigmatize sex work, because many of us are doing it without knowing that we're doing it. At least you're doing it in what seems to be a safe environment. So the real question is, are you comfortable being the sex worker that you are? And are you paying taxes, young lady, on this $2,000 a month? I fucking hope not. Get it, girl. I think it's fine. I mean, I don't like Chris, but I think it's fine. Catherine, am I boring for not liking anal? No. I'm a cishet woman who prefers to be in monogamous relationships. In my early 20s, I dated a misogynist. Didn't we all? He seemed to be obsessed with anal. He always wanted to do anal on me. And if he was ever pleasuring me with his hands, he'd always focus on my bum, like he thought I didn't have a clit. I allowed it at first because I was young and I thought it would please him to be open-minded and up for anything. Eventually, I was able to tell him that I found absolutely no pleasure in being touched or penetrated there. He made me feel so guilty and basically acted like I was the most boring prude ever, saying that he needs someone who is sexual like him. I am sexual, I just don't want my bum played with, certainly not every time we become intimate. Years later, I tried anal again with a really nice guy I was dating because I thought maybe I'd enjoy it with someone who respected me and my body. Nope, hated it. Are we supposed to do this once in a while? Should I be made to be feel like I'm boring in bed if I don't want to explore anal? Hell no! Lady, you don't have a prostate. And a very good friend of mine said to me, ironically, depending on what you believe in religiously, he said, God put the prostate there for a reason. I'm not sure that God wanted a man to be anally penetrated with another man's penis or tongue, from what I've read in his scriptures, but I love that it's open to interpretation. And I want that for gay men. I want whatever makes everybody happy. And if being penetrated in your ass, like, you need to stop asking permission for, like, how you want to be entered. Like, when you are being penetrated, you hold all the cards. Only you get to decide who goes into your body, which is a sacred temple, and who doesn't go, and where they go and how they go. There are plenty of men out there who don't want to put it in your ass. And I sort of feel like this guy was obsessed with your bum because maybe he wanted you or someone to play with his bum. And he was like, all right, if I really show her how great it is to be into like ass stuff, then she will peg me. And so, like, good riddance. And I think there's so much pornification in society now, obviously, that there will be men who have no interest in the bum, you know, hole, but then they've watched a lot of porn and they think they're supposed to do it. And they think that women love it because these women are being paid to be like, yes, yes, I love what you're doing to my bum. Like, I don't like it either. You are absolutely fine. You owe nobody any apologies. And I think that if you need to work on anything, it is ownership of your own body and the freedom to decide who enters it and how without regret. Moaning and wailing during sex. Catherine, thanks to bad porn from the 90s, when I was having my sexual awakening as a young woman, I think I trained myself to moan and whatnot during sex. I like sex and I have a great sex life with my partner, but I'm starting to think the noises are some ridiculous thing, a bit too much. How can I start shifting into being a more quiet lover without my partner thinking I'm not enjoying him or the act? Have kids. Have kids, and you will silently have sex forevermore. Or, like, depending on where you live, maybe you could just say to him, like, oh my gosh, I bumped into the neighbor the other day, and she said that she could hear us having sex, and you know what, I'm just too loud, so I'm going to work on that. You make me want to scream because you're, like, such an amazing lover, and I find you so sexy. But I'm going to try to keep a lid on things. So don't take it as a reflection of you as a lover or something like that. You know, just be, you could just tell the truth and be like, I've been making too much noise all this time just because I thought whatever. But I don't know. When it comes to sex, like, it's just more complicated sometimes to be like, oh, I'm just going to try my best to stay quiet, but you make me want to yell. I don't know. He might think it's a bit too much too. I really think, like, if I was a man who'd had sex with loads of women, like most of them have, and all of a sudden my girlfriend now was like, ah, I'd be like, ah, I know that's from porn. I know it's from porn. Like, on some level, they've got to know. Catherine, sextortion and a new resource for safeguarding UK teens. Oh, this is good. Catherine, as a parent of a teen and having a big platform, I wonder if I could share the news of a great service with you. Childline have just launched Report Remove. This is an anonymous phone line for teens to use to request help removing sexual content, so videos and photos of themselves from the internet. Revenge porn is a big cause of teen suicide every year, sadly, and many teens suffer in silence, too ashamed to come forward and ask for help from their parents or teachers because it means that these adults might see the images and they'll feel shamed. By calling this phone line, they will speak to a safe, non-judgmental adult who can keep them anonymous and help. I feel like it's an excellent new initiative and I would love for more teenagers to know about it. So if you wouldn't mind, please spreading the message or at least telling Violet and her friends so they know they're never alone if this stuff ever happens to them. So go to childline.org.uk. It's called Report Remove. Great. And also you can always come to me. You can email tellingeverybodyeverything@gmail.com and I will help get your fucking images off the internet or out of your friend's hand or off that little boy's phone. And I always tell my daughter, and it's too soon, but I feel like it's important to talk to them sooner than later. I say that any images on your phone at your age, even if they are images of you, are images of child abuse because you are under the age of consent. So do not take those images. Do not share those images. If somebody sends you an image and you're laughing at it because you're a bunch of little bullies, remove yourself from that conversation. Delete the image and say, don't ever send me anything like that. That's an image of child abuse and we need to tell an adult. And I trust my daughter to follow through on that. Pregnancy announcements and stealing thunder. Wait a minute. This isn't about sex. All right, we'll do one normal one. Catherine, we are happy parents to a gorgeous, happy five-year-old. And after 3 years of trying to conceive, we are pregnant with our second. My sister-in-law and her husband have never been keen on our five-year-old. They see her twice a year and they're sort of nice to her, but they never engage much and I can tell she irritates them. They often ask us to meet up without our daughter and they often make comments about life with kids seems a drag. Like they don't like children, that's fine, but the constant comments and lack of effort get to me after a while and I've started to dread seeing them. We sent a low-key text to close family after our 12-week scan to let them know we were expecting. My sister-in-law and her partner never texted me to say congratulations or to ask if I'm okay. I might sound needy, but I found this a little bit hurtful as we had a really difficult pregnancy last time. I would have checked in if it was the other way around. A couple months later, and they have just announced that they are also pregnant. Obviously, the constant bitching about children was just a front. I immediately texted my congratulations but received no reply. My husband now thinks they're upset as we've stolen their thunder. He wants me to try contacting my sister-in-law again to try to arrange a meetup with just us two. Am I being unreasonable by saying that the ball's in their court? They have both texted my husband back about non-related baby stuff, by the way, but I've had radio silence. I feel bad if they think we've ruined their happy news, but babies come when they want. How are we supposed to know they were also pregnant? Other than being pregnant myself, I don't see them often enough to have done or said anything wrong. We messaged fairly regularly before my pregnancy, but the messages stopped dead after we revealed our scan. I wish I could cut them out of my life, but my husband's desperate for me and my sister-in-law to bond. I don't need this kind of negativity at a vulnerable time. What would you do? What would I do? People are weird. I am so lucky that I don't have any friends. I don't associate with any muggles. I'm just friends with like weird artists. And they are forthcoming about their feelings. They just say exactly how they feel all the time. What I've learned about British people is you love to play little passive-aggressive guessing games. And you could be reading the situation all wrong. It could be that she's embarrassed. She knows how negative she's been about children. She feels bad that she doesn't make an effort with the little girl that's now going to be cousins with her child, and you're having another one, and she's like, oh, I said that all these bad things about kids, and then I accidentally got pregnant, or like, I don't like other kids, but I just felt like most people feel like I would love my own. And now it's going to be all this, ha ha, I told you so. Oh, ha ha, you're having a hard time leaving the house, aren't you? Oh, ha ha, having a child isn't easy to be around, you know, when you can't escape them, like you can escape your niece. Like, she's going to have to confront a lot of the ways that she treated your daughter. And maybe when she realized she was pregnant, that's what she felt bad about. And then her husband's just along for the ride. You know, he's just doing whatever she does because he's her husband. So both of you are pregnant. You're right. It's like a hormonal time. You wish maybe that it could be like happy families and you could be like, oh my gosh, we're pregnant together. How exciting. But she's wronged you because she didn't text you back and be like, oh wow, you're expecting. So am I. Congratulations. I didn't want to say anything originally on the first text because we were about to announce our news as well. But now that we're all out in the open and we're both pregnant, how exciting. Like, she's not doing that and that's fucking you off about her. And that's fair. But you just have to decide what kind of life you want. You can dig your heels in the sand and be like, you've been a bitch and I don't want a relationship with you. Or you can be, I suppose, what's called the bigger person and be like, all right, she was a bitch to my child. She didn't say congratulations to me and I said it to her, but I'm going to keep trying. And I'm just going to pretend none of that ever happened because that's what British people love to do. And I'm going to be like, do you need anything for the baby? Would you like to go get coffee sometime? And just, no, don't even talk about the baby. I don't know. You need to pick a lane. Like, are you strong enough to really commit to this fight? Because the longer the silence lasts, the more awkward it's going to be. I'm strong enough to commit to a silence. I will not talk to fucking someone ever if I don't want to. But that's me. And I don't know if you've got the dog in you that TV's Catherine Ryan's got in her. Very few people wrong me. I suffer from hyper-independence as a trauma response. I don't give a lot of people room to wrong me. But once they let me down, forget about it. I can stay silent for a lifetime. You don't want this life. You're not ready for it, baby doll. Congratulations on your pregnancy. But yeah, I would just text her and act like nothing happened. It's just easier for you. And once you've done it, it'll be a weight lifted off your shoulders. Catherine, is my mom cheating with Egyptian waiters? Probably. I have a dilemma that's grown for around 5 years. I don't know why. I've only just now decided to confront it, but here we are. I suspect, with compelling evidence, that my mom is, or at least has, cheated on my dad with waiters and bar staff from her all-inclusive holidays in Egypt. She regularly, that's 2 to 3 times a year, goes solo to Egypt and has done so for a few years. She claims to be meeting friends there, but we never see photos of these friends or hear any more about them. On multiple occasions, I've seen snippets of text conversations over my mom's shoulder with Arabic-named men, sometimes suggestive, sometimes with love hearts, sometimes with selfies. My biggest clue, though, is that she once FaceTimed a man with an Egyptian-sounding accent from my flat and pretended that it was her flat and that her friend, me, was visiting. She did this while she thought I was safely out of earshot in the shower, but I could still hear her. I haven't wanted to confront her before now for multiple complex reasons, partly because I don't know if I want to know what she's doing and with whom. A, because it doesn't feel like my place, and B, because if I find out unsavory information, I have to decide whether or not to tell my dad. I struggle to believe that my dad has no clue. He's not an idiot. And if I, a 30-year-old child who doesn't live at home, has seen these clues, surely he, her husband, has seen them too. It could be that they have a consensual agreement for this to happen, in which case the whole thing's null and void. But I get frustrated that she's so careless at, quote, hiding it from me, and thus has put me in this difficult half-knowing situation. I did once spot Chatty Brunette listed in my dad's phone while I was helping him to set up a new app. So it could be that they're either both cheating or are both consensually doing this. Should I confront my mom about this next time I spot a clue? Is it too late to admit that I've noticed this for 5 years and said nothing? Or is it none of my business, even if it could mean my dad is being cheated on? Holy moly. So what I think they're in an open relationship. And it could be an unspoken open relationship where they've been together a long time. Your dad sort of assumes but doesn't really mentally confront like what your mom's doing on these trips. You're right. He's not an idiot. And he just chooses to look the other way. And your mom doesn't really care what your dad's doing on his phone either. And they're in love and they have kids and they're best friends and they live together. And the admin of splitting is just not something that they want to do. Maybe they're not having sex at all with each other. Or maybe they are having sex with each other. And every once in a while, they go out on these little adventures or your dad like meets people at the bank or whatever the hell's going on. And they have like liaisons and it keeps them feeling sexy. Like maybe this is good for their marriage. And without this, your parents wouldn't even be together. Like who knows? Or maybe they're both being cheated on and you could blow it up if you speak it into reality. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. It depends on what kind of family you are. Like only you know that. Are you the kind of very, you know, British family, for lack of a better term? And I don't mean to dunk on you guys. I just think like culturally, there's a lot that British people don't like to say, and that's fine. It's just different to how I am. So I'm constantly like adjusting my advice to that. You know your parents. Are they the kind of people you could sit down with together? And what are they like when they're together? Like, do they kiss? Do they hug? Is there ever a bum tap? Do they go on holiday together? Like, do they seem like they are in a relationship that is romantic currently? Or are they flatmates? But I would get them together and I would say, I mean, if it were me, I would be like, listen, are you guys in an open relationship? And I wouldn't bring up specifics. I would just go, are you guys in an open relationship? And they'd be like, whoa, darling, what do you mean? Or they could be like, well, why would you? I think no matter what, that's going to be their reaction. Just be like, well, I only wanted to ask because I think it's okay. You know, there are lots of different shapes of relationships that some of my friends have and some of my friends' parents have. And, you know, I'm a millennial or Gen Z, maybe you are. I don't know what 30 is. You're on the cusp. And I have a really open mind. But what I wouldn't like is to be lied to because, you know, that would make me feel dishonest and like I was covering something up for someone. And I just always want mom and dad for like you and for I and for whatever siblings we have or whatever to always be open with each other. So whatever's going on, I know that your like adult romantic life is kind of none of my business. But in a way, I just want to know what I'm dealing with because you're my parents and I'm coming home for Christmas. So let me know. Because your mom's definitely in the wrong, like, using your flat to be like, this is my single ladies pad. Like, it's fucked up. But she can lie to as many Egyptian waiters as she wants. I mean, whatever fantasy she has going on out there. But I'd say you're definitely on the money. And I love that even at 30, you're trusting your instincts. And I think that you and I both know that your parents are at least getting some attention from other people. But I think the question you need to ask yourself is like, is that okay? How does it make me feel? And like, what's the dynamic moving forward? And I think your parents also will need to get it in their head that you're an adult now. And they'll look up to you for this like show of bravery. And they'll be like, okay, it does change your relationship. You're no longer the child who's like protected from the real world by them. They're going to have some like sobering conversations with you. And you're going to know a little bit more about their sex life. And that sucks because you're going to have to look at each other as adults, like as equals. And it'll be a little shift from the like mommy, daddy, child relationship that you once had. But it's okay. And they owe you that chat. They owe you the like, yes, mommy likes to go have liaisons with Egyptian waiters, but we both love you and we're not getting a divorce. You know, whatever that conversation looks like. I think that you deserve it. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Telling Everybody Everything. My tour tickets for my UK and European tour are on sale now. I will be in Los Angeles for the Netflix Is a Joke Festival in May, along with so many others. As you know, I'm going to Dubai tomorrow, and my show is on Friday at the Dubai Opera. And you can always get my book. It's called The Audacity. But most of all, I love that you listen to this podcast for free, and I would always appreciate it if you tell a friend or if you share it on your socials. Thank you so much. Please look after yourselves. I'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.